Turn with me to Proverbs 12, because there's just a lot of stuff going on. It's been going on for a number of years. You know, we had the pandemic, we have election stuff, we have wars and rumors of wars, we have all sorts of moral issues and things going around, and it can weigh you down if you let it. But I'm here to let you know tonight, you don't have to let it. Because Proverbs 12:25 in the Amplified Classic Bible says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. Doesn't matter how much anxiety tries to come on you, doesn't matter how much weight tries to come on you, an encouraging word will make you glad. The Passion Translation of that same verse says, anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. I remember growing up, Mommy would always encourage me, tell me that I could do it. She never really said to me, you can't. She always said to me, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And so I developed an attitude that I'm going to keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And I learned how to encourage myself just by thinking and focusing on what I wanted to accomplish. See, it'll probably come out in a future message. But I guess it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was having a conversation and this phrase came out. Your destination is not as important as your journey. And that means your destination is fixed. It's going to be there. How you get to it is what counts. And if you allow yourself to be discouraged, you'll drop off along the journey and never realize it. We want everyone to get to the established destination. And to do that, we need to hear encouraging words. We need to have encouraging thoughts. We need to encourage ourselves if we're by ourselves. And the people we choose to be around need to be those that give us encouraging words so that we can go on. There was a song, I know I'm dating myself, that's okay. It is what it is. But I remember growing up to a song, Home on the Range. Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. Then it said, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. That I looked that up. That happens to be the state song for Kansas. I didn't know that. It was wrote in the early 1870s in Smith County, Kansas. And it doesn't matter the man's name. But the settlers, the cowboys, and others that were spreading across the nation kind of adopted that song, because they were looking for a new life. And they were tired of hearing all of the I can'ts. Everybody is great thinking that they're helping you, telling you about all the struggles you're going to have to face and how many people didn't make it, you know, and blah, 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 all that nonsense. And it's designed to do something. See, when you're discouraged, that word discourage is insidious. It really is. Because it means to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence. It also means to deprive you of the will to persist in something. Discouragement flat out makes you not want to do anything. Not even roll with the punches, just let everything roll over you. Discouragement is not designed to tell you that you can't go on. It's designed to make you not want to go on, because things are so heavy, you're so weighted down, weighted down, weighted down, you feel like you can't move, and you have to talk to yourself like that book, The Little Engine That Could, you have, I think I can, I think I can, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, no matter what's going on in your life, because discouragement does not, listen to this, discouragement does not have the power, the strength, or the authority to stop you. It can only do one thing. Give you thoughts that suggest you can't go on, and you make a choice to stop. But it can't physically grab hold of you and say, you're not going anywhere. It can't do that. But those words that come out of your mouth, like we read earlier, an encouraging word makes your heart glad. So if you're around folks and you're not hearing encouraging words, guess what's not going to be glad? Your heart. And you're going to start thinking that you can't go on, you can't do it, you can't take it anymore. You'd be amazed at what an encouraged heart can accomplish. You'd be absolutely amazed. Those settlers wanted to go to a place where they would be encouraged, not discouraged. And the truth is, if you're looking for a place on earth where you can always be encouraged, that place doesn't really exist. Not in the natural, because Jesus told us in John 16:33, according to the Amplified Classic, he said, I told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. And this is one that should always make you shout in those tough situations. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. That means no matter what's going on, what comes your way, whatever the obstacle may be, whatever the person is saying or doing, Jesus has already deprived it of power to harm you. So all it can do is flap its gums, hoping you buy into what they're saying, and you make a choice to stop, to not do it, to quit. So how do we maintain our will? It's really simple when you think about it. You just have to believe what God has said concerning you. That's all. Because who has the final say in everything? God. Nothing outdoes God's word. If God said it, that settles it. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, in the King James Version, starting with verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. In other words, he's saying, all you have to do is come together and comfort one another. Edify one another. Keep one another built up. There are two key words in that scripture. Comfort and edify. Comfort means to call to one side, to address, to speak to, call upon, which may be done in a way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instructions, etc. It means to exhort, to encourage, to strengthen. When we are comforting, we are first of all standing together. It's a whole lot better to be standing in a crowd than standing alone. Then we're exhorting, we're strengthening, and we are encouraging. And we look at edify because the scripture says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. It means to build up from the foundation. Now, our foundation is Christ. And if we're going to promote Christian wisdom, affection, grace, virtue, holiness, or blessedness, we're going to have to start with Christ and build from there. And when we come together and start encouraging one another, we're building ourselves up from the ground up, from the foundation up, from our base up, from the solid rock up. So the defense against discouragement is to come together, encourage one another, and that encouragement will build us from up from the foundation, which is Christ. Remember the goal of discouragement: to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence, and the will to persist or continue something. But when you are encouraged, you're inspired with courage. You're inspired by confidence, confidence and encouragement to do something. You're stimulated to continue because you know you have approval and support. You know it. Late Pastor Clinton Audubon back wrote a song called Know This. And I call it one of the great love songs. And he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I loved you then, I loved you now, I'll always love you. In those quiet times, you can hear me say, you're special to me. And sometimes it feels like he's enfolding you in his arms, saying, I love you. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Because if you think no one in this world loves you, you have a Heavenly Father who absolutely adores you. One of the things that we have to be mindful of is that we're called to encourage one another. Even if it appears someone else is getting what we want or what we desire. In Deuteronomy 31, in the Amplified Bible, God said, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So the Lord shall do the same to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who is fighting for you. Then I, meaning Moses, pleaded with the Lord at that time for his favor, saying, O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do such works and mighty acts and miracles as yours? Pray, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that land, hill country with Hermon and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and because of your rebellion at Meribah and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough, speak to me no longer about this matter. Go to the top of Mount Pisgah and raise your eyes toward the west and north and south and east and see it with your eyes, for you shall not cross this Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go across the land and lead these people, and he will give them the land which you see as an inheritance. So Moses is in a position where he has to make a choice. He wanted to be the one to lead the people into the promised land. But God said, no, it's going to be Joshua. And then he told Moses, you encourage Joshua. How do you do that? How do you stand there and watch someone that you basically trained? Your right hand. They're getting what you've been believing for. You encourage them. You encourage them. How do you encourage them? You tell them the same thing that God told you. You say, Joshua, your eyes have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, so the Lord shall do the same with all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who is fighting for you. And Joshua probably, I say probably because I wasn't there, but he knew how much Moses wanted to lead the people into the promised land. He knew that. And he knew that God said for him to be the person. And to have Moses encourage him probably meant a lot to him. Probably did. Those early pioneers wanted land that was plentiful with food. That's a normal thing. Everybody wants to be fed. They wanted clear skies. That's normal. Most people don't like rainy days. We need rain because we need water. But what they didn't want to hear discouraging words. Because the rain can be annoying, but it's also refreshing. You can wash with it. You can drink it. You use it to grow food. But what does discouragement grow? Failure. Heartbreak. Who wants that? They knew the struggles that were necessary, that they were going to encounter. So they wanted to be built up and encouraged. They wanted to know that no matter what comes their way, they can stand, they can survive, they can walk through it. So they understood the importance of encouragement, so they wanted to be in a place where often is heard an encouraging word. I remember when the church had a school, Love Christian Academy, people may know it as LCA, and I was one of the PD instructors, and we had a basketball tournament. Kind of like intramurals, because we had a lot of young men here who thought they were basketball players. All they knew was how to bounce a ball and throw it toward the rim. But to them, that was basketball. And the team that won the tournament had the worst record. They lost the most games, but they won the championship. And you're wondering, well, how did that happen? Well, I tried to encourage and instruct all of the teams. I didn't care who won the tournament. They were the only team that took my word seriously, because all I did was encourage them, and I told them that you need to stop complaining and start believing in one another. You need to start encouraging and exhorting one another, no matter what happens. They're like, yeah, but he won't pass the ball. All he wants to do is shoot. Mr. Carr said, everybody has to play. I want to go to another team. You know, just all sorts of, I just kept encouraging them. And then the next thing I know, instead of, you throw the ball out of bounds, instead of screaming, pat them on the back as they run down court. It's all right, you'll get it next time. And as they started encouraging one another, their confidence grew. And as their confidence grew, they started playing better. They won the championship. Now, it's not the NBA or anything like that, but to them it was. Just encouragement will cause you to look over your mistakes. Look past the obstacles. I mean, these guys, in terms of playing basketball, they were bad. But all they needed was some encouragement, and the little skill they had, they started using, relying on, and they won. I don't know what you're going through out there, but whatever it is, you need to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Read your Bible, find out what God has said concerning you, and believe it. No matter what anybody else says, no matter what anyone else does, you keep believing what God said, and more important than that, you keep acting like you believe. So, well, Pastor Greg, how do you act like you believe? You do what you set out to do. That's what you do. It's uncomfortable as my body's getting back in order. But I make myself stand up tall. I want to be like this because this is more comfortable for my muscles. But it's not the right way. It's not functioning properly, and it throws off your lower back and your neck and everything else. So I make myself stand up. I know I've put a little tire around here. I pull it in, and I hold it in. And I just tell myself, you can do this. You can do this. And other folks have encouraged me concerning diet and food combinations and all of those things. And I take all of that and use it to make a choice, to make a decision to keep going. I get on the scale, and sometimes it seems like that the number 277 is permanently etched on the scale. But then I saw 276.9. I was like, yes, yes, yes. I know this is going to work. It's going to work. As long as I stay with it, it's going to work. And that 277 is down from 293. So I know it works. But when it's uncomfortable, when you don't want to, and I'm not doing 100% everything I'm supposed to do yet. I don't even know what percentage I am, but I know I'm not 100, and I need to be at 100. But doing the things that I do, when it's challenging, I see myself moving around pain-free. And I encourage myself. When I found out that I was going to be playing at a much higher level, playing basketball, I was playing against NBA players, and I knew I wasn't going to delude myself into thinking I had the same skills they had. But they've been playing all their life. I didn't start playing basketball until I was a freshman in high school. So skill level, I was here, they were there. And I didn't think I'd ever catch up to where they were. So I thought about it, and I came up with a plan. I said, okay, I may not be as good in terms of skill, but nobody's going to be in better shape. Hard to see that with me now, but I was in shape. And so I would get on the bus. I lived on Beach 41st Street in Far Rockaway, New York. And I'd get on the bus and ride down to Reese Beach, which was about Beach 160-something Street, and run back home in the sand near the boardwalk. I mean, not what I call a walking jog, running back home. I lived on the 12th floor. I'd get to my building, run up the stairs to the 12th floor, take the elevator down. Run up the stairs again, take the elevator down. I did it until I felt like my heart was going to explode. Then I did it once more before I stopped. Now, in that process, my body would talk to me. My body would scream out, enough, 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 and I would scream back, you're going to keep going, we're going to finish. We're only at Beach 140th Street. We got 100 blocks to go. And I would keep talking to myself. And when it got really bad, I would envision myself making critical plays at the end of the game. And if they're available and you looked at the box scores of the game, most of my points and rebounds and things were in the second half of the game. Because I just wore everybody out, and I was the only one with strength. But the reason I'm telling you that story is I had to keep encouraging myself because my body wanted to quit. My brain was saying, it's enough already, we can't take any more. But I had to encourage myself because there was no one there. I had a friend, afterward I would call my friend, he'd say, how much did you do it? I said, yes, I did. He'd say, way to go, Foots. That was it for encouragement. Well, that's not true. My sons were encouraged. They wanted to come run with me. I said, no, this isn't that kind of run. The daddy has to focus on what he's doing. Hebrews 10:35-36 in the Amplified Bible says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you've carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. That means, folks, no matter what comes, if you stick with it, you will enjoy to the full what's promised. And we need to know what's promised so we can use that to stimulate us. Right now, like I said earlier, whatever you may be going through, remember that all those things are just designed to be a discouragement. That's all they are. Its desire is not to tell you you can't go on, but to make you decide you don't want to go on. That's why so many people take their own lives. They believe they don't want to go on. There's no one in their life encouraging them, letting them know that they can go on. That whatever it is that they're fighting against does not have the power, strength, or authority to stop them. So you can go on. The only way it can succeed, the only way discouragement can succeed, folks, is by destroying your will to continue. How does it destroy your will? Well, it keeps happening, and you keep thinking about it. And you spend so much time thinking about that, you forget about what was promised to you. You forget about the goal that you set. You forget about the destination. You forget about how far you've gone since you started in the beginning. And you develop a mindset, what's the use? I'll never get there. And when you do that, discouragement is going, yes, yes, keep talking, keep talking. That's why you need to come around friends who know who they are in Christ and who you are in Christ, who will point you back to your foundation, which is Christ, and build you up solidly, if that's the right word for you educators out there. God said in Jeremiah 29:11 verse in the Amplified Bible, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." Now, thinking about what he just said, he doesn't have any thoughts for you for evil. He doesn't have any negative thoughts for you at all. Every thought he has for you is for you to be good, healthy, prosperous, successful, always hopeful. So you can walk around and say, my father has, he has good plans for me, child. I don't care about all that. And folks will say, well, it doesn't look like your God's doing anything. That's all right. He's still at work. You'll see the results. As a matter of fact, you're looking at one of his results right now. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. So I know, I'm the witness, I'm proof that my father keeps his word. And you encourage yourself. You have the only good, good father. Now, here's the qualifying question. Do you believe that? That's the question, folks. Do you believe that? We have a word from God. He said he has thoughts and plans for our good. So that means if we're going through something that's not good, it's not God. So if it's not good and it's not God, it's not over. You don't have to stop. You keep going. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes down from the Father of lights, wherein there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So it's, if it's not a good and perfect gift, it's not from God, what are you supposed to do about it? Ignore it. Act like it doesn't exist. Or as I used to say in my heyday, quote unquote, tell it where to go, how to go, and what to do when it gets there. And you stay on the path. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I, forgetting those things behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him going. Romans 5, first five verses in the Passion Translation. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Listen to this. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. So we're always operating in hope. That means we rejoice at what the pressure will produce in us. Because when the pressure comes, it produces what we need to overcome it. Can you imagine? The enemy's presence gives you the incentive to beat the enemy. And here's something I find myself telling folks multiple times during the week. Why are you concerned? Why do you care about? Why do you even give time to think about anything the devil tells you he's going to do? You already know he's a liar. So if he tells you he's going to stop you, you should laugh, dance, go break out into a Holy Ghost dance and start strutting a little higher, moving a little faster. Because the devil says you can't do it, and you know he's a liar, you know you can. And something I heard myself telling the people on Sunday, if you believe what the Bible says, then the devil's under your feet, and he's already been defeated by our champion, Christ Jesus. So here's the question. How can someone who's been beaten, who's lying on the ground and you're standing with your foot on his face, how can he hurt you? He's lying there, barely talking, because your foot is on his head, and he's telling you what he's going to do to you as you're grinding your foot down on his face and you're believing it. He's turning to Mr. Bojangles and start tap dancing on his head. When the enemy turns up the pressure, our patience, endurance, proven character, spiritual maturity, hope, and confident assurance increases. When that happens, you walk right through the sufferings, right through the distress, right through the pressure, right through the trouble, into the middle of what God has promised. You just walk right there, unscathed by it. No different than the three Hebrew boys. No different. They got thrown in the fire. They throw me in the fire. I'm not bowing down. My God will deliver me from you and anything else you may cook up or try to cook up, because you're not cooking us up. And the Bible says clearly, the king looked into the furnace and didn't see three. He saw four people moving about. Remember John 16. Amplified Classic, I'm going to say this as I close. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and have conquered it for you. And I'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 9 to 11, and out of the Message Bible. Listen to this. God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us, a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive in Him. So speak encouraging words to one another. Speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. Paul says, I know you're already doing this, just keep on doing it. Why did he say that? Because when you do, all you have to do is remember the words God has spoken to you and concerning you, and let those words encourage you. You'll walk through anything that comes, and you will get to your destination unscathed. Praise the Lord. You have a home where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play. Seldom is heard a discouraging word in the clouds are not sky, in the skies are not cloudy all day. That place for us is called in Christ. The activity of being in Christ is obeying Christ, believing Christ, having faith in Christ. And before you can do all of that, you have to do one thing, believe. Two things, and invite Christ into your life. That's very simple. Why don't you make this confession? Say, Lord, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for me on that cross at Calvary. He was buried, and he went to hell in my place. But I also believe that after 3 days in hell, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, folks, the word says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you made that confession and you believed it, you are now saved. And what I'd like for you to do is contact us and let us know. I made that confession with Pastor Greg, and now I'm saved. Use the contact information and please contact us. Also, if you have any questions about what we shared with you concerning the message, encouraging word, use the same contact us information and contact me. More than happy to chat with you about it. May not be the same day, but I promise you I will return your contact.